Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. Joining me this morning, WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Tarapak, John Christensen, restaurant critic for the Columbus Dispatch, and Miriam Bowers Abbott, who is the restaurant critic for the other paper. Thank you all for joining us today.
Good morning, Marilyn.
Glad to be
here.
And we'd also like to hear from you. You can give us a call, 292-8513, as we set about talking about restaurants. Once again, we're going to start with Dine Originals. They're having their Taste of Dine Originals dinner on May the 12th. This will be at the Grange Audubon Center, which is a new name for the Whittier Peninsula, I guess. And this is a huge affair that's held each and every year where I think most of the Dine Originals restaurants participate.
Right. I think last year it was Smith Brothers Hardware, if anybody went to that event. And it's great. It's jam-packed. Everybody tries to outdo the next guy. There's not only good food but good wine. And the Audubon Center is a beautiful place. If you haven't been there yet, go check it out. Probably be a little easier to park there than
considering it's the old impound lot.
you could just dump the car at the impound lot.
But I think you can get in there only from one end of Whittier.
Right. You have to get there from essentially Front Street. Yeah.
You know, the architecture of that building that they've built there is really striking. I think it reminds me of something that Wright would have done with the rain chains and the I find it very beautiful, and there's lots of walking paths that stem from the main building.
And a climbing wall.
So I think
over the river so you can
I'm excited by the location.
Yeah. It should be fun.
Is this an outside event, or it will actually be in this new building?
They have a room that just gets bigger. You know, it's a divided room that is seldom opened up all the way. I presume they'll open it up for this event. It probably would hold in a seating capacity, classroom style or something, about 250 people maybe.
So well, given the weather this spring, I would hope that we could anticipate some kind of cover.
Yeah.
No, they're due for a sunny day, don't you think? They're getting all the rain out at 7 inches out of the way.
We're all due. Yeah, that's right.
292-8513, if you'd like to join the discussion this morning. We're talking about restaurants. And this Taste of Dine Originals event is a fundraiser of sorts, I think, for Dine Originals and for Buckeye Ranch.
I believe that's right. Get there early. It's a crowd. Like I said, it's well worth the price of admission, and you can eat and imbibe for a long time.
So is this the kind of thing where people come throughout a certain
I think last year, as I recall, it started around 5, I think, and folks were there. I got the last parking space, and I was there at 5:15, and we left probably about 8 or so, and it was still going strong. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Another Dine Originals issue this year is a new card, a new discount card called Out on the Town. And this is for people who also go to arts events. And it's a pairing between Dine Originals and arts and cultural organizations so that if you are a member of the museum, for example, or Franklin Park Conservatory, you can also get this card. And it entitles you to a discount on lunch or dinner, and of course not on Friday or Saturday night, but other less well-attended days during the week.
And it's like 20% discount, isn't it?
It seems huge
to me.
Yeah.
And it's a nice way to get people out into some of these independently owned restaurants on nights that they might not normally go.
It's a great alliance. I think it's a terrific idea.
Well, it's a great collection of restaurants.
Yeah.
Not all of the Dine Originals restaurants, I think, are participating, but...
No, I mean the whole Dine Originals program.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
To band together for the opposite of what a chain restaurant is.
And there are over, 55 now, something like that, in Dine Originals? Big number.
Yeah, pretty good number.
Yeah.
We've also got Cinco de Mayo coming up, and my question is why we celebrate this here in the United States?
I actually know the reason. I don't that it celebrates the victory of a battle that happened in either 1861 or 1862. You didn't, and I didn't know you were going to ask this question. It's just that I had the same question about a week and a half ago, and so I started looking it up. And that battle was somehow impactful on the outcome of the U.S. Civil War, even though the battle itself was between France and Mexico.
Right.
But somehow it was, one of those sub things that impacted what happened in the United States. So sometime, I believe in the 1970s, the United States decided they would make it a holiday to also celebrate Hispanic heritage. So and so that's something what you implied in your question is actually the case. It's not really much of a holiday in Mexico. It is somewhat
sort of,
of a holiday
Patrick's
in the
Day.
United States. Yeah, yeah. It's,
nor in France.
Another excuse to drink.
It's also our anniversary, so it's a holiday in my house anyway.
Yeah, but, well, and with the growing Hispanic population too, I think
absolutely.
It's becoming more and more popular, and it's probably has something to do with the people who sell that funny stuff that makes margaritas. Make your own, by the way.
292-8513. We're talking about Columbus restaurants and food with our panel of food critics this morning, Rich Terapag, who does restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch and Miriam Bowers Abbott, who works for the other paper. And it's so nice to have you here this morning.
Oh, thank you. It's fun to join in.
One of the other topics I would like to discuss is slow cooking. Apparently that's one of the latest trends, not only in restaurants, but people are participating in their own homes. There was a recent dinner at Bozzi Italia where the entire menu was slowly cooked, the so-called offal food, organ meats, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So is this one of the new trends in dining?
I don't know if I'd call it a new trend. It's more like back to
liver and onions.
The way things used to be with slow cooking, even before the era of crock pots. And eating what we now call offal was very common. It was something that was considered an affordable food, and then it became a sought-after series of organs, if you will. And then it went out of style, at least in this country, and now it's considered, I guess I'd say, trendy.
Well, these are foods that don't have a huge appeal. There are a lot of people who just kind of stick up their nose and say, no, I don't think so.
Well, with the exception of things like I think sweetbreads are considered offal, are they not?
Yes.
So there are some things that we're familiar with. Some of the others might be a little, we haven't had a lot of brain at our house.
Yeah. I don't know. Is liver considered
no
part of
that? No pun intended.
I don't know if liver is considered that part of that, but that's never really left the mainstream, although judging from the number of questions I get about where to get liver and onions, it's not commonly found.
Where do you get liver and onions?
Well, the one place would be the Spiro's.
Oh. Northwest side, right? That one?
Yes.
Oh.
The one that is in a fairly new location at the end of West 5th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
They cut it very thin. That is, the liver is very thin. The onions are thick enough to get them nice and caramelized before they finished cooking everything. So it's a pretty straightforward dish for anyone who's looking for mm-hmm. it.
And we've all, been fond of foie gras for a long time. I guess that would be considered
liver sausage, I suppose.
Liver sausage.
Yeah. To show how kind of underground organ meats used to be, there, I knew several people many years ago who used to be part of what they called the Insiders Club.
Macabre.
And I think all of the members of this club were married to people who did not like organ meats, so they had to meet almost clandestinely together. And they came up with some really wild menus. I think the most imaginative dish prepared at one of those events was so-called mountain oysters.
Oh, my.
That was sauced with a chopped kidney sauce.
Huh.
So there was a kind of two-for-one deal.
I bet not everybody knows what mountain oysters are.
Okay, those are testicles.
Right. No. This is sort of a strange, almost satanic group, John.
I think so.
It's a kind of strange conversation.
Yeah. I don't know if they had special chants and handshakes. And
hopefully you were just a guest.
I was not a guest.
Okay.
By choice.
So would this include foods like pork cheeks or pig cheeks and cod cheeks and that kind of thing?
Maybe. I don't
cheeks are muscle. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they qualify. And I don't. I'm not sure tongue qualifies either. I think it has to be an organ.
Yeah. A spleen might qualify.
Yeah.
Well, of course, this is the anti-movement, I suppose, to fast food.
Sure.
People advocating that you know where your food comes from, that you sort of take take delight in cooking it over a long period of time, that you sit down at a table with family or friends and enjoy it in the traditional way.
And whether it's the food itself is cooked fast or slowly, I think the notion of eating it over an extended period of time and not gobbling it down has got a lot going for it.
But yet we all think we're too busy almost for that.
Well, we think we are, but yeah, I think that's all in the head,
right.
Especially for dinners. Dinners in the family setting at home, which used to be a regular event, and now seems to be have to be a specially scheduled ritual.
Or take place on a Sunday evening or something when
yes.
everybody can
yeah,
kind of congregate.
Yeah. And I think braising has been in for a while, and
yes.
that qualifies as slow cooking.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we can find shortbreads,
short ribs.
Ribs, you know, all over town. I think there's several places that offer them, and it's terrific. It's also sort of a winter thing. Actually, we're probably getting out of the braising season a little bit, but, it's a great thing to...
And lamb shanks made an appearance several years ago,
yeah.
and by nature, they're slowly
right.
cooked.
292-8513. Steve from the North End is joining us and would like to know if there's a place that he can get Sloppy Joe's.
Yes. Is there any place in Columbus that serves a good Sloppy Joe?
You may have
stopped
the band.
I don't recall a good one.
John?
I don't recall ever running into a good one. The ones I've...
Is it an oxymoron to say a good Sloppy Joe?
No, I think like anything else, it can be done right. But the ones I've seen over the years have been like cafeteria or dormitory mm-hmm. food. They kind of honed in on the word sloppy and left it at that.
Could you put a shout out to the audience if they know of a good Sloppy Joe in Columbus? Could
well, you just
they
did.
Call in? Thanks.
Sure. It'd be great to know.
292-8513, if you know the answer to that question or you'd like to comment on a restaurant that you perhaps go to here in Columbus, give us a call, 292-8513. We've got a couple of other events of note to bring up. This gluten-free tour that Bethia Wolf talked about the last time she was a guest here is coming up on May 14th, and there are a handful of places now specializing in gluten-free food.
Yeah, we talked to a new one in Bexley. I hope it's doing well, called Cherbourg. It's on Drexel near Maine, both gluten and nut-free baking, and really quality stuff.
Yes, very high quality.
Yeah.
I know the Pistachio Vera has a gluten-free list from its repertoire. Doesn't Spaggio have a gluten-free menu?
I believe so, yeah. And I don't look for it often, but I think you're right. I think I've been told about that.
I think just about any restaurant, don't you think if you ask your server, most servers will accommodate gluten-free, can answer that question even if the menus don't specify or have special gluten-free sections. Just about anything can be made to accommodate a gluten-free diet.
And we've talked before about gluten-free pizza crust, those kinds of things. And we're going to take a quick break, and I'll try and find my list of places, at least that are on the tour, when we come back.
President Obama believes that releasing his birth certificate will finally silence the conspiracy theorists and immediately allow this nation to move on to a sensible, sane discussion about our real problems. Man, that guy sure isn't from around here, is he? I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for a native-born news quiz. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
And Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me begins tomorrow morning at 11 here on 89.7 NPR News. 48 degrees in downtown Columbus. Some sunshine should peek through those clouds at some point today, and we could reach a high of 60 degrees. Clear skies tonight and a low of 41. Sunshine and a beautiful day for Saturday with a high of 70 degrees. And then, unfortunately, showers and thunderstorms off and on throughout the day on Sunday. Cloudy skies for Sunday and a high of 70. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants this morning with WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak, John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, and Miriam Bowers Abbott, who is the restaurant critic, one of the restaurant critics for the other paper. Pistachio Vera is on the list of gluten-free on the tour list, along with Cherbourg and Food for Thought, Jenny's Ice Cream, and Cameron Mitchell's, and that's May 14th. We have a couple of callers on the line, and Jared is joining us, and he does know the answer to Steve's question about where to get a good sloppy Joe. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good. You?
Yeah, I stopped into a place called Little Palace. I think it's actually changed owners, and it's downtown on Main, right next to Dirty Frank's, and they have a great sloppy Joe. I think it was a lunch special one day during the week. I'm not exactly sure what day, but it was very good.
And just out of curiosity, how much was it?
The special was $5 for a sloppy Joe and a side of fries. So,
yeah. Little Palace on 4th, actually.
Is it on?
Yeah, near Cherry, I think. It's just a couple blocks north or block and a half north of Main Street. A fun place. Got a lot of those kinds of specials. And you're right, it did change ownership a couple years ago. And they took a while to rehab the place. They did it in a manner that evokes the 1950s when the place was originally built or occupied. And they saved some of the original Greek dishes as well, and some of them are a real bargain. I think we had the gyro for, $3.50.
The pricing was incredible.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure that Steve will be delighted to hear about that since he kind of stumped the panel.
Okay, I hope so.
Thank you. And Anne is calling from Galena and wants to talk about a restaurant that she loves. Hello.
Hi, this is Ann.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about Greek food and Yanni's on Cleveland Avenue. It's the best place ever.
And whereabouts on Cleveland Avenue?
It's Cleveland and 270 right there, right across from the Home Depot. And he has the best burgers. He has the best gyros. He has the best fish. It's just a little place in a strip mall. And he's been there for years, but it is so awesome.
Is it a sit-down kind of place?
Yes. Okay. And takeout.
Well, our critics here are nodding their heads, so apparently they're aware of it, too.
Oh, good, good. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for your call this morning.
Bye-bye.
You want to add to Anne's description?
I'm trying to remember. Is that part of the same family that was involved in the original Fisherman's Wharf? Am I correct in that? I don't think so. No.
But I've done several articles over the years, and they've all been favorable, and it's the kind of place that has that element of Mediterranean hospitality, which I think is something that goes a long way, even when the food is very good, which it is there. It goes a long way to making it a place that people like to come back to. So my only complaint about the place is that it is small, and sometimes it's crowded, but that's a pretty good symptom.
292-8513, and we have Len, who's calling from Lewis Center this morning. Hi.
Howdy. I just would just like to tell you all about a place I found called Sole Bistro. It's a Somali place, and the good thing about it for me is they have goat, and I've had a very hard time finding goat in Columbus, and it's not only just goat, it's wonderful goat. And they've got all kinds of things, and I know they only use organic produce, and they always have a pretty nice salad that goes along with whatever they're serving, and they've got bread. It's kind of like pita bread and kind of like Indian bread, but maybe kind of a cross between the two that's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I can't recommend that high enough.
And where is it?
It's Sole Bistro. It's off of Cleveland Avenue, north of 161. There's a big shopping center there on the northeast mm-hmm. corner. And if you go up one light, I think there's a place called Fujiyama there, and instead of making a left there, you make a right into their parking lot.
Okay, well, people here sitting at the table seem to be aware of that as well.
Been
there?
It's in the Columbus Square, I believe.
Yes,
Columbus
it's Square. the north end of the Columbus Square Shopping Center.
Exactly right, yep.
And there are actually a number of good ethnic restaurants in that little shopping center. It's worth a visit.
Yes, even in that same strip, there has been, I don't know if it's still there, a pretty good Middle Eastern restaurant. The Soleil Bistro from the outside looks like just another space, but inside they've done a very nice job furnishing it.
It's very classy. You get a good feeling.
Tablecloths on the table and very accommodating helpers. And the food is very good. It is pretty authentic as far as I can tell, although you have to make sure they don't scale back the heat too much on the hot dishes if you're definitely into spice.
Yeah, I found I'm not into spice that much, and I found I told them what I liked, and I got it the way I liked it, so that was pretty good.
So if they determine that you're non-ethnic, they might scale back?
They did for me.
Yes, I think it's up to you to, just like in any ethnic restaurant, let them know that you want spicing authentic, if that is the case.
When I was trying Mexican grocery stores, I know I would just walk in and they would run and get someone else to help me. it was that I thought, what is it that people can look at me and tell I don't speak Spanish?
But language wasn't a problem for me that I found, and I thought the prices were pretty good too.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
I did give them a very favorable review.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a good place.
Thanks for your call this morning. We did get a note here from Lisa on Facebook, who says her favorite restaurant is probably Skillet or the Angry Baker, both because of amazingly fresh ingredients and brilliant complexity of flavors. She also loves that they're both tiny little places tucked away in urban neighborhoods. And, of course, Skillet is in...
It's just outside of German
Schumacher.
Village.
Yeah.
Schumacher Place or something like that. Schumacher Place.
Just a little east of the village.
And the Angry Baker, I haven't been to yet. I think it's one of those places on...
It's on Oak Street. Yeah. It's across from the...
Yellow Brick Pizza.
Exactly.
Yeah. Becoming quite the food corner. And I've heard great things about Angry Baker. Tried to go on Monday, and of course they were closed. But I'll get there eventually.
And the other problem is that they close early. They close at 6.
So it's open for breakfast and lunch, presumably.
Yes, and for a very early dinner or for taking something home.
Yeah, it's small as well. Yeah.
The best thing about them is the baking. They make excellent hard-crusted breads as well as more regular shorter breads. And they put pretty good stuff on them to make great sandwiches. And then they have a whole dessert case full of various kinds of sin.
their caramel cinnamon rolls have been my favorite cinnamon roll in Columbus. I'm always trying to change my mind, see if there's some other cinnamon roll I like better. But the element of fresh caramel is very heavy in those, and I like cinnamon rolls that have a lot of stuff in them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more a stuff person than a bread person, and they have a lot of stuff in their cinnamon rolls.
That's good because I think Skillet, I was told, and it's unfortunate, have stopped making their cinnamon rolls.
I have not had theirs.
Oh, they were great.
I need to research more.
Yeah. So maybe we can encourage them to bring them back. They're about the size of a loaf of bread.
I would like that.
There's something slightly intimidating about the name, the Angry Baker. Yeah. It's like it's like the soup Nazi or something, like you're going to qualify for your cinnamon bun or you're not.
Yeah, but they do have nice attitudes inside.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. 2928513. We also got an email from Sharon this morning who cautions us not to forget her favorite foodie event, the North Market's Apron Gala, which is May 21st. Mm-hmm. Anybody participated in that before?
Yeah, we've been, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Again, it's a grazing experience. So you can just go around and eat. I shouldn't promote it too much. My wife's on the board. John, do you want to – have you ever been?
I've never done it.
Yeah.
I think the aprons are an especially nice feature of it because people devote their energies to aprons for the event, much like people devote their energy to Halloween costumes for a Halloween event. So they become very creative and artistic.
So people
so
are making.
Lots to see. You could eat and look at great works of art at the same time.
Yeah.
So they're making their own.
Yes, if you buy a ticket, you can compete in the apron contest. Yeah.
They do have some wonderful events down there. In addition, just to being a draw in and of itself, going to the market on Saturday or during the week is a wonderful experience.
It is. And, you know, it's great for those of us downtown. You can park for, what, a quarter of an hour and go in and have lunch at any number of places that are fun and a lot of good variety. So the market's a real asset. It's particularly tough, however, when there's a big convention in town. They seem to get swamped.
Absolutely, because it's so close to the arena district, too, if there are events at the arena and then a convention, and you just kind of want to stay away. 292-8513, we're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus. Cliff is calling us this morning from Westerville. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to call in. Wendell's Pub in Westerville has the best fish and chips I have ever eaten in my entire life. I was fortunate enough to take my family on the Rick Steves Pub Crawl Fish and Chips tour of London, and our last meal of supposedly the best place, my oldest son sat there with tears coming down his cheek and said, Wendell's is better.
And how old is your son?
Yeah, at that time, he was about 12.
Oh, well, that's good.
But their fish and chips, if you go there, it's probably 70% of their business. It is the most awesome piece of fish. Their fries are incredible. Highly recommended.
Is Wendell's a chain?
No, it is not.
Because there used to be one
off location.
There used to be one, I think, across from St. John Arena on Lane Avenue
for a short
time.
They closed that, and now it is the one location. But if you want to celebrate the royal wedding, I highly recommend it. Couldn't do better.
Well, thanks so much for your call this morning. Has anybody else joined Cliff in enjoying the fish and chips there at Wendell's?
At Wendell's, no. I haven't.
Soon after they opened, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you know, during fish fry season, so when the Catholic churches have their Friday fries, I used to go to St. Margaret of Cortona religiously. But, because I always thought they set the precedent for me for fish and chips. So now I'm dying of curiosity about this Wendell's place.
292-8513. If you have a restaurant recommendation or you'd just like to discuss food here in Columbus, give us a call this morning. And we'll talk with Sean, who's looking for a good deli in Columbus in addition to Katzinger's. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been in search of a decent deli in Columbus. Katzinger's is well known. Over in the Grandview area, there used to be a place called either Christina's or Cristana's that actually closed down. And I didn't know if your panel possibly had another suggestion for a good delicatessen, perhaps something family-owned.
Well, Rich and I, a long time ago, went to, and I probably will say it wrong because I always get confused, Denny's or Danny's?
Denny's.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah, it's a terrific place. It's on the front and broad in sort of the basement of what's known as the Huntington Trust building. And they're out of Cleveland. Get the Little Nicky, which is the small pastrami sandwich, and you'll eat half of it at lunch and half of it at dinner. It's a good place.
And they're opening another restaurant downtown as well.
I believe so. That's right.
I think they're doing a soft thing today, maybe for special guests. I think I heard that. So from a semi-reliable source, Lexi's on Third.
Yeah,
Lexi's on Third. Okay, that's the name. I think it was named for their daughter or something. And is that a deli as well?
No, I don't believe. I thought that was a different concept. But I haven't been
I bet we'll all know in a week.
And somebody may even call and tell us today.
And there's also Spinelli's, which is on Neal Avenue, and they've got a downtown location as well. On Neal Avenue where the Giant Eagle is there at Buttles.
Yep,
and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The one downtown is in the first block north of Broad Street on High on the east side of the street. opened about 4 or 5 months ago. Good place.
Well, and the one, of course, on Neal Avenue has probably been there for 10 years, I think.
292-8513. Good salads as well as sandwiches, by the way.
And we have Jack calling from Polaris. He also would like to weigh in on Sloppy Joe's.
Hi, it's Jack Davis. Hi, Rich. And
Hi, Jack.
John.
Jack.
Miriam.
What you'll find is Weiland's in their cooler case makes a wonderful spicy Sloppy Joe. Off of Indianola between Northwest Boulevard and Cook.
Yes. Weiland's Grocery, and they have
East North Broadway, I think is the what you're
East North Broadway.
Yeah, north of East North Broadway.
And they have a huge array in their refrigerated section of foods that you can take out either for lunch, dinner, or you know, just sides, all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's sort of gourmet to go or close to it anyway.
Yeah, well, one more reason to go to Weiland's.
Yeah.
There are so many. 292-85.
Including the wine selection.
Yes.
Well, they've opened up a whole big section of wines, I think, and beers in the back of the store in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a huge array of.
Yeah, because they can sell hard liquor now.
I thought you had to be a state store to do that.
Well, you can be your license.
You can be a private version of a state store now.
So, for instance, Kroger's has liquor stores in the brewery district and on East Broad Street, right in the middle of the store.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't take your shopping cart in, though. No.
292.
Well, clearly, you're not into hard liquor.
No, actually, I'm not. 292-8513. And we're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus with John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, Miriam Bowers, Abbott of the other paper, and WOSU's own Rich Terapak. And let's see, we've got Ryan calling in this morning. A slice of Columbus and street vendors. Ryan?
Good afternoon almost to all of you.
To you as well.
Am I on?
Yes.
Yep, you're on.
Hey, sorry about that. Slice of Columbus. I was just wondering if you guys have been there and what you could weigh on that. And also street vendors, all the taco awesomeness and the, what is that, the late night slice. I don't know if you guys have tried that, but it's pretty amazing. Especially if you're a little inebriated.
You've been in too many grocery stores, Ryan. Well, gentlemen, ladies.
The Slice of Columbus, are you talking? There is a pizza contest called the Slice of Columbus. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir. It's held at the LC.
Yeah, yep. I've been a judge there for many years. It's a lot of fun if you can manage to down about 32 pizzas or at least bites of them. It's a great event. It benefits eventually Children's Hospital. I think it's a division of Children's. Yeah, and it's the Lifestyle Communities is where it's held now. A lot of beer vendors as well, but it's got some good stuff.
And that's an annual event.
It's an annual event, yeah. Come join us. It's a lot of fun.
And, of course, the street vendors, I think we talked about the taco trucks on our last show because it was early spring and they were just starting to kind of reappear. And they're multiplying, much like, you know, the perennials that you plant. Up pops another one. And there is, of course, a map on Google, I think, Taco Trucks of Columbus, something like that, where you can find out the various locations.
Mm-hmm. And there is the one that decided to settle down in the space on Godown Road north of Bethel, Los Gauchos.
Which was also the original one on the west side, right? Philippi or something like that on the west side.
Yes, but if you want a fixed taco truck that you can rely on finding every day, that's the place to go.
Really good product at Los Gauchos. Yeah.
And I think they've kept their truck, right? And then they have this brick-and-mortar location as well.
And the Short North is now working with food trucks, not necessarily taco trucks, but all types, right? So that during gallery hop, they have a parking lot and you can go through a big buffet of trucks. I think that's my understanding. They're giving that a try for the next 3 or 4 months.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think it started three or 4 months ago, and it's on a six-month trial thing. I think that's a great way to feed a lot of people.
Absolutely.
The one of the Short North restaurants I know was going to initiate a truck or at least a a cart. The Levee, you know, had
the $5 one, place.
The $5 place. Everything's $5, and it's. I think they now have. It's the owner and one helper who is, I think, his brother or something. But it's worth it, and the brother must be taking the card. But
well, we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just a minute with All Sides Weekend.
Next Wednesday is the 50th anniversary of the start of the Freedom Rides, in which an integrated group of civil rights activists rode together by bus through the Deep South challenging segregation. Pledged to nonviolence, they remained undeterred by firebombing, beatings, and imprisonment. On the next Fresh Air, Raymond Arsenault discusses his book about the Freedom Riders. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Celebrity chef, cookbook author, and cooking teacher Jacques Pepin joins a variety of local Columbus chefs to cook their signature dishes Saturday afternoon on WOSU-TV. Watch as the chefs demonstrate how to incorporate local foods into your cooking and give some useful food preparation tips and tricks. Tune in for this annual event when Jacques will be in the WOSU kitchen for Chefs in the City. Be sure to watch Chefs in the City Saturday afternoon at 1 on WOSU-TV. 50 degrees in downtown Columbus, a little bit of sunshine today and a high near 60 degrees. Clear skies tonight, a low of 41. Sunshine for Saturday and a high of 70 degrees. And then a chance of rain for Sunday. We could see a thunderstorm as well and a high of 70. All Sides Weekend continues. This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend, where we're talking about foods and restaurants this morning with WOSU's Rich Terapak, John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, and Miriam Bowers Abbott of the other paper. And, of course, with all of you. And Barbara has been holding for quite some time. Barbara would like to talk about chocolate.
Yes, I just wanted to let everybody know that Josef's Chocolate that was in German Village has relocated to Old Town East in a place called Voda's. So with Dine Originals, is just with Black Pig Bistros just a couple doors down, so you could always eat, get some nice little chocolate, and go to a show.
That's good to know.
Well, and of course, that's the location of the Angry Baker, which we were just talking about, and Yellow Brick Pizza. Yeah. It is becoming sort of a mini hub for food.
Yeah, which is great. It's,
I'm so glad she's back. I found the proprietor of Josef's to be dreamy. I mean, just her interpersonal. I also liked her food, but even if I hadn't, I would have gone in there just because I
a little therapy.
Just a delightful person.
That's great.
And this is inside of what did you say?
I think it's the only kosher chocolate in Columbus as well. Even though I'm not kosher, but it's she still is.
Mm-hmm. Is it in that the little strip center? It's kind of a Tudor-looking line of shops next to Black Creek?
Yes, it's in between Carabar, where they do the dollar tacos on Tuesdays, and Black Creek Bistro across from the firehouse.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
Sally is joining us. She's visiting from Florida, and good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning. You have the most fascinating shows. I'm enjoying them. My husband and I had decided last week that we've sort of got things settled now. We've got 5 more weeks here, and we'd like to try a different ethnic restaurant every week. So I started with your Somali restaurant. That's when I tuned in, and I tried to write everything down. But
this
I wondered
is Soleil Bistro, I think.
Yeah. Say that again. Bistro? Somali Bistro?
It's Soleil.
S-O-L-A-Y.
Yeah.
All right. And what I would love to do is have 5 more suggestions for the next the period that we're here.
Are you in the witness protection program?
We're open to anything. You know, to try to lure our grandchildren, at least one of them, in with us too.
Okay, let's see what our panel comes up with.
I was particularly interested that your Soleil Bistro not only had a deep ethnic character, but it also used local and locally produced foods, organic foods. That was a plus for me.
One of our favorites, and certainly my son and daughter-in-law's, is a Thai place on Hamilton Road called Indochine, and it's probably about midpoint between Broad and Main on the west side of the street. It's family owned. And they do all of their own stuff. They have a delightful hostess who take her recommendations for whatever they're serving for the day. And so, if you want a Thai restaurant, try that.
And they also have some Vietnamese offerings there.
Right.
Very good recommendation. And it's true of most of those places, the prices are almost absurdly low for the quality of the food that you get.
Right.
There is a Nigerian place very close to Soleil Bistro. You could essentially walk across Cleveland Avenue to find it. It's called Intercontinental. It's a very modest name. That has opened up in the last month or two. That does West African food and is owned by a couple from Nigeria. That would be worth checking out if you're adventuresome.
Okay, so we have two, and Sally is looking for five.
Has she been to the North Market?
Oh, well, that's where I really do take the grandchildren because they can have their pizza and I can have something
okay, so,
really
so
fun.
You've done that tour. Have you been to Le Chatelain?
Yes, and that's close to where our children live in Upper Arlington, so it's walking distance for us. So we've enjoyed that too.
Would you consider Middle Eastern to be ethnic?
Yes.
Well, I would recommend the Lavash on High Street near Weber. It's north of the campus area,
all right.
South of Clintonville.
Okay.
Excellent place. Very good.
Yeah, top quality Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I think that probably singularly comes up on the show every single time.
Oh, interesting. All right. Lavash?
Yes.
Okay. Lavash, mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see what else.
In fact, I was just there recently and found that they're baking their own pita bread now.
Oh, my. That's excellent.
And it's so much superior to the kind of dried out stuff that you get in the big bags.
Of course.
For a dollar or whatever it is.
That's always true, isn't it?
John, your favorite Indian restaurant. There's so many that...
I was just thinking we've gone 2 weeks without an Indian restaurant opening up. And I just don't know what to do with that fact. Maybe
the one on Old Henderson. I remember you introducing me to that one.
On Henderson?
I don't want to steal his suggestion. What is its name? It's on Old Henderson Road, so it runs parallel to Henderson. Do you know it's all vegetarian?
I can tell you how to get there.
Right.
It's on Old Henderson Road, just south of Kenny.
South of Kenny, okay.
It's behind the FedEx Kinko's building.
Just about the only business on that side of the street.
All right.
And if you want to go someplace for Cinco de Mayo and you're in that neighborhood, go to Cuco's.
Go to Cuco's, all right.
It's across the – if you know where City Barbecue is, it's right across the street from City Barbecue. And it's a pretty decent Mexican restaurant.
I hate to ask you this, is that in downtown Columbus?
Oh, no. It would be in Arlington, North Arlington.
Okay.
Bethel and Sawmill.
Yeah.
Okay, Ethel and Summer.
Yeah, that's a pretty reliable recommendation. They've maintained quality for a long time.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You have given us really some terrific leads, and I think that we're going to just be living high on the hog here. Thank you so much.
Well, stick around, and we'll give you some more.
Oh, we'll come back. I'll call again. Thank you,
Sally. And you did a review recently of Cafe Del Mundo on 4th.
Yes, I'm not sure.
An Italian restaurant. I don't think it's open for dinner.
Yeah, they open once a month for dinner. For a set price dinner, but essentially it's a lunchtime place. Mm-hmm. Very high quality, again, at very very low prices for the quality. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get to once you've done it, but it's kind of difficult to describe. It's on 4th Street, just north of the Inner Belt.
So just north of the entrance ramp to 670.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So Columbus Awning is down there, I think a little bit farther south.
Exactly.
Smith
yes.
Brothers is on the other side of the
Yeah, it's a cinder block building, and it's easy to miss. It doesn't look like a retail establishment from the outside. It looks like a wholesale, which is what it used to be.
And is there parking?
Lots of parking right in front of it.
Yeah. Someone said that there were new owners and chefs at La Playa, which is up in that same Columbus Square Shopping Center. Do you know, John?
I've heard that, but
been there.
We certainly hope they'll have a different reservation policy.
Well, and a variety of places to check out. 292-8513. Gary's calling from downtown. Gary?
Oh, hi. John and Rich and Rich, it's Gary Robbins calling.
Today it's Miriam.
How you doing? And Miriam, I'm sorry. You were speaking about Alexi's on 3rd, and I was driving by there as you were talking about it. They are indeed open, and small crowd, but it's good for them, I think, for an opening day. And if you want another ethnic restaurant, Cafe Istanbul at Easton is phenomenal. I eat there all the time.
Yeah, good place. Good place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you. Once again, Lexi's on 3rd is opening. I think you said, Miriam, it was a soft opening today, perhaps.
My understanding was that it was an invite thing. But if you saw the doors open and people flooding in, that didn't, you know,
Well, I'm sure the signs will be clear enough soon enough that it's open.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. 292-8513. John is wondering where the good family dining spots are.
Hi, hello. Thanks for taking my call and the program. What's all the buzz? What's all the rage? What's fun for the family to do? And North Market, I heard on a previous phone call, and that's always a favorite of mine, but because everybody can get a little bit of something and then meet at the picnic tables outside if it were to ever stop.
So do you have
raining or get warm. But,
do you have little kids?
Well, I have nieces and nephews that I get to, hang out with sometimes.
How old are they?
Anywhere from 4 to 14.
Okay. Sunday nights at Pig Iron on High Street in Clintonville. Do you eat barbecue?
I've been there one time by myself, and I didn't think about sharing that experience, but that's a great recommendation.
Wait, here's why. Because they hire a magician whose name is Carol Baker, who is out of this world and will go to your table and sit down and do dumbfounding magic tricks that will make even me as an adult stand there with my jaw agape. He is just outstanding, and I enjoy the barbecue. So from
great tip.
I know the kiddie spots. And kids eat free on Sundays there also. So and there's another place, Johnny Buscelli's, where kids eat free some days of the week. I'd say like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe. And I know you didn't ask where do kids eat free, but when restaurants offer that as a promotion, that means they're ready to see a 5-year-old, and people that go there on those nights are ready to see a 5-year-old, which is not always the case at other restaurants because it's awkward.
Sure, I like the smaller portions for the kids. Are they eating the same thing as the adults at the table, or is it a totally separate menu?
They have a different. Both places have a different kids menu. I would say there are choices. I'd say there are 5 or 6 choices, and they are not horrible choices. I mean, do you know? I mean, it's not nuggets. There's something. I would imagine that there would be something that wouldn't horrify you that they would be interested in eating. I think my kids have cheeseburgers, and it's made from real meat, and not weird stuff. And it's more than they can eat.
Well, I look forward to meeting the magician. You said Carol
Baker. I love him. I hired him for a party.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning, 292-8513. And Tom is joining us from Dublin about French fries.
Well, hello. This is Tom from Dublin. I'm continuing a conversation I had with Rich last night about French fries. And it's about the city's best French fries, non-McDonald's. And actually, the other question to the panel is, what are the elements of a great French fry?
Potatoes.
I hate Wendy's fries. Nobody hates them with me.
The new ones?
Yes, I hate them.
I've heard other people say that.
I feel better. I haven't
tried them.
You wouldn't. John's like, Mary, that's just a little too lowbrow.
talked about sloppy joes.
Chains simply don't make their fries on premises, which is, to me, the beginning of really good French fries, is cut the potatoes there. In other words, start the process there, not at a factory in another time zone.
You know who does, I think. They're not a chain. They have just three locations, I think, locally is Graffiti. Burger Boys.
Yes. Yeah. And they do very good fries.
Yeah, terrific. And they also the bread product is good, too, for the burgers.
Although I did have Graffiti fries probably last fall, and they were limp and not terribly hot, and they were really kind of disappointing because I finally decide to indulge, I want them to be good.
What do you like?
Well, my father used to make French fries, and it really was a treat, but he would always cut the potatoes and then put them in a towel and put them in the freezer for a while.
Oh.
And then he would deep fry them.
Hey, there's a technique, Tom. We got to try that one.
Absolutely.
I've noticed that more and more restaurants are starting to do their own fries from scratch. And one recommendation would be Flatiron, which does so much from scratch already.
And that's down near the convention center.
It's on
Nationwide.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
Across from the convention center.
Yeah, near 3rd. Near 4th, I'm sorry.
But it's just the best French fries in town. I would have no idea because it's a moving target.
And what was your vote last night during the conversation?
We talked more about whether you like skinny fries or fat fries. And we decided that those big chunky fries were not to either of our liking. I don't like squishy fries. I like the ones that are crisp. Mm-hmm. I guess small, thinner. I like, and quite frankly, I love sweet potato fries. But
I think we had good French fries at Deepwood one time.
Yep, you're right. We did have Deepwood on North High across from the convention center.
Sometimes we like to set up taste tests where we have, several fries, like 3 or 4 versions of a dish right in front of you at that point in time. So you can be in the same mental state and have your taste buds operating in the exact same way, as close as you can get, rather than Monday was a bad day and you don't like something and Tuesday was a good day. But French fries will never work for that kind of test because you can't get them all at the same time hot out of the fryer. You can't get McDonald's and Wendy's and Arby's and Deepwoods all in front of you at the same time with the same delay. So, I suppose one could, but it would require
an insane
number of resources.
We could put a challenge out to the Dine Original guys.
Right. Well, how scientific do we need to be about French fries?
Yeah.
292-8513. We have about 2 minutes left, unfortunately, and a number of callers on the line. And, Jeff, it looks like you may be the last call.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I would say I love your show. Thank you for this. And have you guys ever eaten at Baba Booey's and tried the Howard Stern Peanuts platter? And what do you think of it?
I have never heard of that place.
Say it again, Jeff.
The name of the restaurant?
Oh. We had a little bit of a difficult time understanding the name of the restaurant. I'm going to suggest that you call back the next time we're on, and we'll take a really quick call from John in Worthington. John, you have about 30 seconds.
Hello, this is John from Worthington, and I would like to give an ethnic number like we talked about 10 minutes ago. Fortune on Ackerman has very authentic Sichuan cuisine. I lived there for several years, and until this week, I couldn't find the real thing, and there it is.
Okay, this is Fortune.
Well, I'll have to go back there and see if they have their health license back.
Well, the back few pages are very, very authentic with the right spices, and it was a nice, easier than flying back.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call this morning. We have been talking about food and restaurants, and I think we'll be talking about food and restaurants again in June. I'm Marilyn Smith. Joining me this morning was John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, Miriam Bowers Abbott of the other paper, and Rich Terapak, who does restaurant reviews right here at WOSU. This is WOSU 89.7 and 820 AM Columbus, WOSU HD1, streaming online at wosu.org. 89.7 NPR News, service of WOSU 89.7. Public Media. News from NPR is next. It's approaching 12 o'clock.